year and welcome to the January PodMag. I'm Karen Foley, and in this news audio from the Open University from Social Sciences and Psychology, we're going to hear from Graham Pike about the Forensic Psychology Witness Identification MOOC, and Umat Errol told me about some exciting methodologies that she's using in her latest research project. Well, early January is certainly a unique time of year. We've just had Christmas, which can be a time of really mixed emotions. Some of us have been eating too much, and it's common to make a fresh start in the new year. Some of you may be looking forward to starting a new module with the Open University in February, but others might be midway through the modules that started in October. But wherever you're at with your studies, staying motivated, especially at this time of year, can be a real challenge. We recently heard from Georgina Blakely, the module chair of DD102, about her ideas for students over the Christmas period. And in December, she asked people to give tips for other students about motivation on her Friday Thinker slot on the faculty Facebook page. I'm going to read those out later, but firstly, let's have a think about MOOCs, massive open online courses. The OU are one of the partners and one of the largest MOOC providers, FutureLearn. And if you go to futurelearn.com, you can see a huge range of MOOCs that are commencing shortly. And so many people have said to me, oh, I really must get around to doing a MOOC. So I thought that this would make a nice feature to look at for January. Now, the MOOC that Graham leads is a really interesting one. Whilst the OU are involved in many, this is a really popular choice for those with an interest in criminology and psychology, although you don't need any experience in either to be involved. Here's what Graham had to say.
Hi Graham, thanks for talking to me today. I'd like to spend a bit of time thinking about your Forensic Psychology MOOC, which is in its third run. We've currently had two of those a year. And I'd like you to tell us, what's it all about? Because this is a very different sort of way of running a MOOC. Can you tell us how you stage some of the content for this?
Hi Karen. Yeah, we're very proud of the MOOC. It's on Forensic Psychology, and it follows a criminal investigation and explores the psychology behind what's going on, behind the witnesses and behind why the police do what they did. It uses material that we filmed with the BBC for a series called Eyewitness. And in that series, what we did was stage crimes in front of witnesses and then get the Greater Manchester Police to investigate them. And we had hidden cameras so we could see what happened in the crime, and we filmed in the police station so we could follow the investigation. So what we're doing here is using one of those crimes, which was an armed robbery of a security van, which was staged in Manchester. We constructed two fictional detectives, one good and one bad cop. One kind of very modern police officer who uses all the modern techniques and does everything by the book. And a good old-fashioned second kind of bad cop who uses his instinct and, you know, always gets his man and is could be in the Sweeney. So we follow each of those investigating this crime. So the only evidence they have is from witnesses. So they interview the witnesses in various ways and try to pick out what happened. And of course, they both end up with quite different opinions about what happened in the crime. And you get to follow that. You get to see if you can solve the crime as well as them and as well as the Greater Manchester Police. But we also then explore the psychology behind memory, perception, attention, interviewing, how to get the best from memory and things like that. So it's looking at psychology and it's also looking at criminal investigation. So we tend to get two kind of groups of people interested in psychology, but we also get people very interested in forensics who watch CSI and do lots of the other forensic science MOOCs that are around. And we get, in that second category, we actually get a lot of amateur novelists. So there's millions of people around the world who are writing books, and a lot of them write crime books. And they do MOOCs like this because it's a very good way of finding out what happens in reality, you know, what investigative techniques are actually used by the police, and, you know, what research is going on. And it's a good way of kind of getting into the psychology of witnesses and victims and things like that.
Oh, fantastic. So tell us a bit about how it works, because it's over an 8-week period, isn't it? And people can sign up for this beforehand, and then during those 8 weeks, there's facilitators and the group of learners sort of move progressively through the material. And then, of course, people can pick up on that if they've registered at a later date, if, say, they haven't been able to see some of the content that was available 1 week. How does it all work, then, in terms of this community of learners? It must be quite a buzz about it when it's all happening.
It is. Our MOOC is fairly unique in that all the other MOOCs that you sign up to, there's a registration period which lasts throughout the course, so if it's 8-week course, 8 weeks, and then for, a month or two beforehand. But what usually happens in a MOOC is you have access to the entire course. So you could complete the entire course on the first day if you wanted to. But most people follow the study calendar of doing what they're supposed to do each week. With ours, we release each week a week at a time. Now, the reason we do that is because it's about solving a crime. It's a whodunit. And if we release the entire course, some students would complete it all in the first week and know who'd done it and would kind of spoil it for everyone else. So we kind of approached it like we were making a serialized, you know, crime novel or a TV program. So each week, a week gets released and, you know, a next bit of the investigation happens. And it's not till right at the end that you get to find out who done it. So that means that although you can do the course at your own rate, take as long as you want to do it, what we find is that most of the discussion, most of the chat happens as each week's released. And our facilitators who are kind of tutoring the course, you know, concentrate their time there. So, you know, if you can, you don't have to, but if you can do it according to the study calendar, you benefit from that discussion. You benefit from kind of a very active group of people who are all trying to work out who done it.
And you've got a lot on your plate. I mean, tell us why you're involved with a MOOC. What's special about this for you?
I'm very passionate about the Open University's mission to widen participation in higher education. I don't like the idea of knowledge and teaching and learning at university level kind of been hidden away in these elitist institutions. So, you know, I'm very proud to work for the Open University that tries to bring higher education to anybody who wants to study it. But I think we have to realise that doing a formal course, you know, studying for a degree or for a qualification is a very big deal. And there are lots of people, for whatever reason, you know, they're at a point in their life that can't manage to do that. These are small, bite-sized chunks which are entirely free. The study is self-paced. So it's just a fantastic way of bringing all the wonderful research and brilliant teaching and learning that goes on at universities and making it completely accessible and available to anybody who wants to study it.
Well, I know lots of students who've studied this MOOC and they've really, really enjoyed it. So thank you for that, Graham.
My pleasure, Karen.
Well, anyone can do a MOOC. And whilst it's common that those with an academic background take part in them, they're also a really good way to encourage friends and family to learn something new and for free. Okay, so next I wanted to share an interview with you from Umat Erol. Previously, I told you that she'd been awarded a grant from the Economic and Social Research Council. This sounded really interesting, and I wanted to find out more. Here's what she told me. Hi, Umat. Thanks for seeing me today. So you have been awarded an ESRC grant. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, it's about participatory methods. It's a really exciting project that is trying to look at how participatory theatre methods and also walking methods can be used more widely in social science research. And what we're going to do is we're going to produce something like a toolkit and training material for other social science researchers. And that includes people working in universities, but it's also for people working perhaps at NGOs or in other sectors.
And so what are these participatory theatre methods all about then?
Okay, this is a method that we've tried out before in a pilot project, you might say, which has looked at migrant mothers. And this one is going to look at migrant parents, but also migrant young people. And what we're interested in is finding out about their ideas and feelings of belonging, and also about their ideas and feelings of participation, how they feel they can participate in their neighborhood, etc. And how it works is this. We are starting out with two sessions of what is called playback theater. So we're asking people, the group, to tell us a particularly important experience or a story about their feelings of belonging. And then this will be played back by professional actors and musicians to them. And this can become a really powerful experience where people feel that their experiences are being recognized, yeah, and validated because it's being put into an artistic form, if you will. And that's really the power of arts sometimes, that it can condense what we experience in a very brief moment of time and at the same time make it really intelligible to a larger group of people. So that's one method we're using. And another method is called forum theater. And in that method, what people do is they talk about a particular experience that they have had in their real life, And that oftentimes is an experience of conflict or a difficult experience that they didn't know how to resolve in reality. And then they would play that experience. And others from the same group can then intervene, take the role of one of the participants in the scene and change their behavior and see what would happen. Yeah. We oftentimes think, oh, I wish I had said this. I wish I had done that. Okay? And this forum theater really is an opportunity for people to actually do it and see what would happen. Yeah? Obviously, this is in theater, but this technique of forum theater is part of a wider repertoire, if you will, of theater of the oppressed, it is called, that was developed by Augusto Boal in the 70s in Latin America. And it was meant to really be a rehearsal for social change in real life and social action in real life.
So you're not only doing research on all this, but you're also piloting this toolkit so that others can use some of these methodologies as well. That sounds really exciting, Amat. And when are you beginning?
We're starting in January.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to hearing more about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, returning to the theme of the New Year resolutions and all that, we wanted to update some of the features that we're including in the PodMag. I was thinking about having more profile type pieces, you know, about how people got to where they are, and also more vox pops and interviews with students. So if you can think of anything that you would like to see here, or maybe tell us what you like or don't like so much, please email us at podmag@open.ac.uk. I can even do phone interviews now, so if you'd like to tell us why you're studying, then please do let me know. I'd really love to hear from you. But to get us started on this, I wanted to return to the Friday Thinker I spoke about earlier and the question that Georgina asked about motivation. Well, there were some really good ideas and I wanted to read out just a few of those. Dean Markham said that he thought the best way to keep motivated was to keep studying. He says that even 20 minutes here and there could be enough to settle your anxieties regarding falling behind. And Alison Wilson agreed with this, but she adds that it's also good to keep small achievements in mind. And that's why she likes the TMAs. Little steps lead to great things. Well, Alison, I think that's a great way of looking at it. And it's important to consider also then what you're trying to achieve in each assignment and viewing your successes in those terms also. Johan also talked about remembering what it was that inspired you to study in the first place. Sometimes focusing on the end goal can inspire us to keep going when things seem difficult. And Sarah Mathias says, I think life teaches you so much. You don't grasp the simple concepts, and here she's talking about motivation and hard work paying off, until you've gone through the passage of experience. She says that she now embraces constructive criticism from her tutors, which, you know, maybe at 18 or 19 years old, she wouldn't have done so much. And it spurs her on to do better. She also adds that the study planner keeps her in check and also the forums. It's good to see where others are at, as distance learning can be isolating. And Ben Thompson says keeping focused on your end goal and never being afraid to say that you're finding it hard, not just to your tutor, but also to fellow students. No one will think badly of you. And that is so true, Ben. John Bewley adds many interesting tips, but one thing that really resonated with me was his comment, it's your choice to succeed in whatever you choose. And that's important to remember. From all of these ideas, there is a sense of studying for a reason and also of being in control of that process. I guess that for all of us, finding a way to remember these things and to go with what works for us is most useful. And those are some of the tips from the Friday Thinker Facebook page and the discussion with Georgina Blakely in December. But don't forget, it does happen each Friday, so do make sure that you've liked the OU Social Sciences Facebook page and you can get involved in there also. Well, that is all we have time for, unfortunately, in this edition. But don't forget to email me your thoughts and any suggestions, please. podmag@open.ac.uk. And have a great new year. I hope there's been something in this issue that has inspired you. Bye for now and see you next month.